Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Temp by Louise Hyman is a labor history and economic analysis of how stable, long-term employment in the United States gave way to temporary, contract, on-call, and other non-standard forms of work. Rather than treating the gig economy as a new phenomenon caused only by digital technology, the book traces its roots through decades of managerial strategy, consulting practice, labor policy, and shifting ideas about who deserved job security. Hyman combines archival research with accessible historical narrative to show how employment became more flexible and workers became more exposed to insecurity in pay, benefits, and protections. The book is both a history of work and a critique of the institutions that normalized precarious labor. It is written for general readers as well as those interested in labor history, public policy, and the changing structure of the modern workplace. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, how the standard employment relationship was built in the New Deal era. Hyman begins by explaining that the idea of a stable full-time job with benefits was not timeless or natural. It emerged in the 1930s and 1940s through unions, labor legislation, and employer arrangements that made long-term dependent employment the norm for a portion of the workforce. This mattered because it tied wages to a larger set of protections, including pensions, health coverage, and a reasonable expectation of continued work. The book shows that this arrangement was historically selective rather than universal. Its protections were extended unevenly across class, race, and gender lines, which helps explain why the later erosion of job security did not affect all workers equally. By framing the standard job as a historical construction, Hyman challenges the idea that today's insecurity simply represents a break from a natural order. Instead, he presents stable employment as one specific compromise that can be dismantled when political and business priorities change. Secondly, temporary staffing as a managerial solution. Not just a labor market accident. A major contribution of the book is its account of temporary staffing agencies, especially manpower, as deliberate tools for reorganizing labor. Hyman shows how temporary clerical work expanded after World War II because employers wanted flexibility, lower labor costs, and less responsibility for worker welfare. Temp labor allowed firms to respond to fluctuating demand without committing to permanent payroll obligations. This was not merely a side effect of economic modernization. It was a business strategy that spread through offices and other sectors. The book emphasizes that temporary work changed the meaning of employment itself by separating labor from the long-term relationship that had once justified benefits and security. That shift helped create a market in which workers could be treated as adjustable inputs rather than members of a company community. Hyman uses this history to argue that many present-day forms of precarious work are extensions of older staffing practices rather than entirely new inventions. Thirdly, management consulting and the promotion of flexibility as an ideology. Hyman extends the story beyond temp agencies by examining management consulting firms, especially McKinsey, as influential promoters of flexible labor models. In the book, consultants did not just advise companies on efficiency. They helped redefine organizational structures so that firms could reduce fixed labor costs and increase managerial control. This matters because it shows how precarious work gained legitimacy inside corporate decision-making. Flexibility became a rational-sounding solution to competition, yet it often shifted risk from employers to workers. The book uses consulting history to demonstrate that labor insecurity was actively designed and normalized through elite professional advice, not passively accepted as an unavoidable market outcome. By connecting consulting to employment change, Hyman broadens the analysis of work beyond factories and staffing firms to include the institutions that shape corporate ideology. This makes the book especially useful for understanding why the language of flexibility can obscure the unequal distribution of power behind workplace restructuring. Fourthly, race, gender, and immigration shaped who received secure work. One of the book's most important arguments is that stable work has always been unevenly distributed. Hyman emphasizes that the protections associated with mid-century employment were built around assumptions about whose labor counted as worthy of security. White male workers were more likely to be treated as the default beneficiaries of long-term jobs, while women, immigrants, and workers of color were more likely to be excluded from the core protections of the system. The book connects this pattern to clerical temp work, farm labor, and guest worker programs such as Bracero, showing that non-standard labor often grew in spaces where employers already expected less security and fewer rights. This historical framing is crucial because it prevents nostalgia from flattening the past into a universally secure golden age. Instead, Hyman reveals that precarity is both a recent intensification and a continuation of older inequalities. The result is a more realistic picture of labor history, one that links job insecurity to structural discrimination rather than to technology alone. Lastly, gig work, scheduling algorithms, and the search for new protections. the final part of the book moves into the contemporary economy, where Hyman discusses platforms such as Uber and Instacart alongside on-call scheduling systems in retail and service work. His point is that digital platforms are part of a broader shift toward labor arranged around demand rather than stability. Algorithms can coordinate just-in-time labor at scale, making unpredictability a feature of ordinary employment. Hyman then turns to policy responses, including labor law reform, portable benefits, infrastructure spending, and universal basic income. He does not present these as perfect solutions, but as attempts to adapt institutions to a labor market in which flexibility is unlikely to disappear. This section is important because it shows that the book is not only diagnostic, but also normative. It asks what kinds of social protections can survive when the classic employee bond weakens. In that sense, the book links labor history to contemporary policy debate and offers a framework for thinking about rights in a fragmented job market. In conclusion, Temp is best suited for readers who want to understand how the modern labor market became so unstable and why insecurity should be seen as a historical and political outcome rather than an inevitable byproduct of technology. It will be valuable to students of labor history, business history, economics, public policy, and anyone trying to make sense of temp work, gig platforms, or shrinking benefits. The book also speaks to workers and organizers who want a deeper explanation of why standard employment has weakened and what kinds of protections might replace it. What distinguishes it from many books on the gig economy is its historical depth instead of focusing only on apps or recent market trends. Hyman traces the institutional and managerial origins of precarious work across decades. That broader perspective makes the book more than a critique of platform labor. It becomes a history of how companies, consultants, and policy choices redefined employment itself. Readers looking for a clear, research-based account of job insecurity will find it especially useful because it connects the past to current debates about benefits, scheduling, worker classification, and social protection. If you would like to support Louis Hyman, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.